This morning we're going to talk about your son lives, and we're going to look at a second miracle of Jesus in the Gospel of John. As we are determining to get more Jesus in our lives, I want to remind you that last week, if you were with us, we talked about the Samaritan woman or the woman at the well and Jesus' encounter with her. We also learned again that Jesus cares more about the inside than he does about the outside. He wants our heart, and because he knows if he gets our heart, our full heart, then he'll get the outside as well. He wants us to yield to him. And we saw that with his encounter with the woman at the well. It was a fascinating interaction. But what we saw in there is that the more time she spent with Jesus, the more clearly she began to understand who he was. It wasn't just from their initial reaction or their initial conversation, but it was over a length of time. And not only did it change her life, but it changed many other people's lives in that city, the city of Sychar in the area of Samaria. So now we're going to pick up the rest of that story. We're going to look at verses 43 through 45, which I call a kind of a transition here. It helps us know where Jesus is headed next. Join me in John 4, verse 43. And after the 2 days, he went forth from there into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast. For they themselves also went to the feast. So again, you see there's a transition here. It says, after the 2 days, was he referring to? If you remember last week, that the Samaritans, the people from the city of Sychar, came out to the well. They begged Jesus, they asked Jesus if he would stay with them for a couple of days. John records that he stayed for 2 days. So that's what the 2 days is in reference to. And now he's continuing on his journey from the southern portion of Israel up to the northern portion of Israel around the Sea of Galilee. That area is called Galilee. And so he is now headed on his way. As he heads on his journey, we see that we'll see in a moment that he's going to a city specifically called Cana. As he's headed that way, he's passing very near, or it would be a very short journey for him to go to his hometown of Nazareth. But he doesn't go there, and you see why. He says in verse 44 that a prophet has no honor in his own country. He is passing through that town. Now, we'll talk about this, and the other Gospels record that Jesus did spend some time teaching in the synagogue in Nazareth, but not at this point. He is not spending time there. And if you think about it in some context, it wasn't that Jesus was somebody who had made a life-transforming decision at some point in his life, and now he's concerned that going back, the people of his town are going to see him in a different light. But then again, he is now in his ministry at about 30 years of age, and he is claiming to be the Christ. Not just claiming, he is the Christ. So those people who had seen him grow up and live his early years of his adult life in that community, for whatever reason, we're told here that they would not receive him as a prophet because they knew him as Jesus, the little boy or the teenager or the young man that grew up in their midst. So he is traveling on and going where he needs to go. And be reminded, and we've said this a few times, but Jesus never in his earthly life never did anything or went anywhere that he wasn't led by his heavenly Father and that he didn't go in the power of the Holy Spirit. He never did anything of his own accord, of his own volition. Hey, I think I'm going to go. You never see that in the Gospels. You see that the Spirit of God led him there. You see the Holy Spirit empowered him or used him. You see him talking to the Father through prayer and then him going in a certain direction or having a conversation with people. He completely yielded himself to the will of God as the servant of God, as the Christ who was coming as the Messiah, yet fully God. He's fully God. He could have done anything that he wanted to do, but he is yielding to the Father and to the Spirit of God as he lives his earthly life. Notice in verse 45 that when he came into Galilee, into that region near the Sea of Galilee, that the people were welcome to receive him. They did not reject him. They didn't question him. They didn't turn him away. Instead, they were glad to receive them. In verse 45, John tells us why. The reason that they're glad to receive him is because they had seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Passover when Jesus was there, and so were they. As Jews, they would have all traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover as a part of the law of God. And we know from what John tells us in back in chapters 2 and 3 that when Jesus was there, you'll remember that he cleared the temple of the money changers who are making a mockery of the worship of God. He also, while he was there, John records that he healed people. So they were amazed, and now they get to interact with this man who is coming in a different way than they've ever seen somebody of God come before. Now he's going to do something miraculous in their midst. Join me in verse 46 through the end of the chapter of John chapter 4. He came therefore again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was requesting him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus therefore said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. And as he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. They said therefore to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives," and he himself believed, and his whole household. This is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So we've talked about that the Gospel of John was written around these seven miracles. Here's the second one. It's the healing of this boy. But let's dig a little bit deeper so we can understand. And then I want to challenge you with a thought from this miracle that Jesus does. So we see again that Jesus comes back into this town that he had been in before, Cana, that's up in Galilee. And as he comes into that town, John reminds us, in case we forgot, that this is the same town where Jesus had attended the wedding. Remember, he had an encounter with his mother there when she told him that they were out of wine and kind of indicated that he needed to do something about it. She didn't say he needed to perform a miracle and turn water into wine, that he just needed to help them figure out some way to do something to help with the festivities that were going on. Jesus saw fit to turn the water into wine. So we're back in that same town. And as he's in that town, there comes a royal official. Now, we're not told who he's royally officiating or who he's a royal official of. Is he a Jewish official in some way? Probably not. Is he Roman? Probably so, but we're not told those things. But here's some official who has some capacity in some way in that community, whose son is sick. Now, he lives in Capernaum. What you need to know is that there's about a 20-plus mile distance, between these two towns. So in order for this official to have come to be where Jesus was, he would have had to take a day, maybe 2 days, to get there. One day would have been really fast for him to get there. Could he have walked 20 miles? Sure, he could have. Most likely, it took him 2 days to get there, or parts of 2 days to get there. So it says in verse 47, the royal official had heard that Jesus was in the community, that he was in the area. Now, he wasn't in his town, but he was desperate enough that he went to another town, the official did, to find Jesus. And notice what it says in verse 47. It says that royal official was requesting Jesus, him, to come down and heal his son because his son was at the point of death. Again, we're not told the details of what was wrong with the boy. It doesn't matter. But we know that the gospel writer here, John, tells us that that boy was near death. So that dad is desperate. His son is dying, and he comes to him. Now, the word here that he was requesting literally means he asked Jesus a question. But it wasn't just a question. The grammatical structure here tells us that it literally was a command. So it wasn't a question in the sense of, hey, will you? It was a command that I need you to go and take care of my son. He was desperate. How many of us have been desperate before and reached out to Jesus for something? How many of us have been desperate and we were asking God a question, but we weren't really asking for his answer. We were asking for the response that we expected. That's what this man is doing here. We don't know if he had believed in Jesus to this point or not. We don't know if he trusted that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Savior of the world yet. But he obviously had heard that Jesus had done some miraculous things. And so he comes to him. Notice that Jesus then does something curious here in verse 48. He says, unless you people, so he's speaking to a group, not just to this man, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. He's telling them that it's not about the event that takes place, but it is about their faith. It is about their trust in God. Do they take God at his word? Many of the people that would have been there would have been Jews who knew God's word. We also saw last week from the Samaritan woman who wasn't Jewish in the classic sense, but she knew a lot of the things of God from his word. She knew the cultural things about the Jews. So here in Galilee, where there would have been many Jews, he's basically questioning them as to why they have to see signs and wonders when they've had God for thousands of years already. They could have been trusting God in every instance, yet they are fascinated by the signs and wonders. And he says, you simply will not believe without those. But notice that the royal official in verse 49, he's focused on the physical things. He needs Jesus to heal his son. That's his sole purpose for being there. He's not there to have a relationship with the Father. He's not there to become friends with Jesus Christ. He's not there to investigate whether Jesus is the Savior of the world or not. He's not there in any official capacity of his office as a royal official. He's there as a dad who is desperate that somebody heal his son. And so he's looking at the physical side of things. We see this several times already in this gospel. He says to him, sir, come down before my child dies. That's his whole focus. He's not asking him any questions. He's not trying to refute anything that's been said. He just simply wants his son to be healed. Jesus looks at him in verse 50, and he gives him a command. He says to him, go. That was a command. Go your way. Why? Because your son lives. If you heard that from Jesus, would you have believed him? If you were desperate coming to him, as some of us have been in our lives, we've been desperate, or in our desperation, whether other people thought it was desperation or not, doesn't matter. But in our relationship with God, with Jesus, we've come to him out of desperation. And notice what he says to him very simply, go your way. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an encouragement. It's a command. Go your way because your son lives. Then I want you to see what happened next. The man, the royal official, that man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. He believed it. That word believe means he had complete trust and reliance on the fact that because Jesus told him to go, your son lives, he believed him. You know how we know he believed him? Because the next phrase is, and he started off. How many of us, though, would have said, but Jesus, I need some assurance. I need some kind of money-back guarantee. You don't understand, Jesus. I traveled for 2 days to get here. I need some assurance that if I'm going home, my son is alive. Because if he's not, I'm holding you responsible for that. He left. He went back home. He left after Jesus told him to go because his son lives. He completely believed him. He didn't turn back. He had no idea what was going on in Capernaum. He had no way to know what was happening there. There's no way that word had gotten back to them that quickly. Notice what happens in John's gospel. He says that as he was going, so he's going, he runs into his servants and he says to, and they say to him that your son is alive. Now they wouldn't have come if it was still touch and go. They would have stayed there and taken care of the family. But because he's fully alive, and when God does something, he does it all the way, they confirm that the son is alive. Notice what he says in verse 52. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. They said therefore to him at the end of verse 52, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. It was at the exact same time that God's son, Jesus Christ, had said, go, your son lives. God's perfect timing. I want you to also notice another detail. It says, yesterday, at the seventh hour. So that man has been walking part of one day, and now he's into the second day. And he's walking. He's still going home. It doesn't say that he stopped anywhere to contemplate, what if I go home and my son is dead? He didn't stop by somewhere and make arrangements for somebody to get his son's body just in case. He wasn't contemplating what he's going to do if his son surely isn't alive. No, that man, that royal official who had listened to Jesus, is still making a beeline back home. So not only had the servants come, but he's on his way there and he's been walking already parts of 2 days. And he finds out that the man that he trusted was exactly right. Not only did it affect him and his son, but notice again what he says in verse 53. His whole household believed. They trusted God. They believed in Jesus Christ. That doesn't just mean in the healing that took place, but it also means they believed that Jesus Christ truly was not just a prophet, but the Son of God. And then John points out that this again is a second sign that Jesus performed, a second healing that he had performed. And notice that it's in the same area. Jesus is in the same city. The Gospels record a lot of what Jesus did, not every single detail, but most of the Gospels that talk about what Jesus did up in the area of Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee, that was about 75 to 80% of his ministry recorded in the Gospels is what takes place up in that area. Why does it matter? It matters because we need to have the same kind of trust and faith. Listen to what Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says about faith. It says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Some of us hear that story this morning and we go, well, that's good for that official, but what about me? Do you believe the word of God? If he says something, do you take him at his word? When you read the scriptures, do you take him at his word? We're studying the book of John so that we can have more Jesus in our lives. Part of having more Jesus in our lives means that we need to learn to believe his word, period. Many of us in this room or listening online today have spent a lot of time listening to Bible studies or being a part of church. Sometimes we still wrestle with God and his word. And it's okay to wrestle with his word, but do you believe his word at face value? Or do you have to have him answer a bunch of other questions before you'll believe? If you had been that man that had gone to Jesus as a royal official and asked him to heal your son, and he had said to you, go, your son lives, would you have left? Would you have needed some assurance? Would you have believed him, have complete trust and reliance? Would you have run back home? Would you have been making plans in your mind to embrace your son and how we're going to celebrate the fact that he's alive without knowing until you run into these servants that you have no idea are coming? Would you have believed the word of Jesus Christ, or would you have needed some other verification. Would you have questioned Jesus? This man didn't question him. He turned and left. He went away because he believed. Not only did he believe, but his whole household believed because of what they experienced. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. When you and I hear the word, do we believe it? Or do we still have to question it? Do we have to go check with somebody else? Do we have to experience it in some way? If God says it, you and I can believe it. We can trust him with our whole life. You may not get the result that you want. In this case, this royal official did. He came asking that his son would be healed, and he had his son healed. But how many of us wait until we're desperate before we go to the Lord? Why do we always have to wait until we're desperate? Why can't we go to him before our desperation occurs? Because his word is true in our desperation, but it's also true before we get to the point of desperation. It doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the same. So if he says it, why don't you and I believe it? Why do we have to wait or think about it or wrestle with it? Are you like this royal official? Or are you like others who question? When God says something, do you believe it? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I want you to think about whether you believe the word of God or not. Just with your head bowed and your eyes closed before you get busy with the rest of your day, think about this in relation to this story of Scripture in relation to your life. If Jesus tells you something, do you turn and go because you know that it's true? Or do you have to look for more? We know God's word is true, but do we believe that it's true? Do we live like it's true? Maybe we need to ask him for that help today. Maybe we need to trust him by faith. Father, we thank you for the incredible power of your word, and we thank you for the faith that you allow us to have in you. Thank you for your grace, as we sang this morning. Thank you that you are patient with us. But Father, help us just simply trust you at your word. My prayer would be that all of us, if we had been in that royal official's place, we have not only heard Jesus say, go, your son lives, but we would have actually left because we believed like he did that our son had been healed, that our prayers had been answered. Father, help us to trust you in every single circumstance of our lives. You are worthy of that. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.